The word of God given to us today is Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 27. Please turn to page 49 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. That's Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 to 27. Allow me to read the words of God. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Then Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting. He took water and washed his hand in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. Amen. C.S. Lewis, one of the best Christian philosophers of the 20th century, has once confessed that the teachings of Jesus are full of wisdom and prudence. He also said that Jesus' teachings are very realistic, original, and the fruit of a sound mind. In his book, God in the Dock, he introduces parts of Jesus' teachings in the chapter, "What Are We to Make of Jesus Christ?" C.S. Lewis wrote, "I am the truth, and the way, and the life." He says, "No man can reach absolute reality except through me." Try to retain your own life and you will be inevitably ruined. Give yourself away and you will be saved. He says, "If you are ashamed of me, if when you hear this call, you turn the other way, I also will look the other way when I come again as God without disguise. If anything, whatever is keeping you from God and from me, whatever it is, throw it away. If it is your eye, pull it out. If it is your hand, cut it off." If you put yourself first, you will be last. "Come to me, everyone who is carrying a heavy load. I will set that right. Your sins, all of them, are wiped out. I can do that. I am rebirth. I am life. Eat me, drink me. I am your food. And finally, do not be afraid. I have overcome the whole universe." And he also said that that is the issue. For the past 3 years, Judas Iscariot has listened about the real important issue from Jesus over and over again. However, after all the teachings full of wisdom and prudence, he went on to steal and eventually sold his teacher over, fooled by Satan. The religious leaders who had been plotting to catch and kill Jesus were able to arrest Jesus earlier than they had planned to, as Judas has volunteered to give them a hand. Jesus, who had already been sentenced to death by the religious leaders through their conspiracy and false evidences, stood before Pontius Pilate, the governor. Pilate asked the prisoner before him during the interrogation, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Through Pilate's question, we can understand that those who have accused Jesus have charged him for treason. According to Luke, it testifies that the assembly, who had been won over by the religious leaders, accused Jesus before Pilate. Let us look into Luke chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. "Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, 'We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king.' They charged him in one voice that Jesus tried to delude the people, instigated that they do not have to pay taxes to Caesar, and that he goes around telling people that he is a king. The tax issue was a very politically sensitive issue in Israel, where it had been under the rules of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire imposed taxes on people who resided in Judea, Samaria, and Idumea, which were their colonies. At the time of Jesus, the Roman Empire had been going through a financial crisis. That was why they collected tax aggressively, and tax collectors were treated like scums by their fellow Jews. Alfred Edersheim, a Jewish convert to Christianity and biblical scholar, reported that tax collectors were considered as same as prostitutes, Gentiles, bandits, and or murderers in Palestine. They were even considered expelled. But Jesus called in Matthew, a tax collector who was good as a scum, a prostitute, or a murderer, as his disciple. And to the question on tax payment by the spies that were sent by the secretaries and the high priests, the Lord replied, 'Then give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's.' Also, in order to prevent causing an offense, he made Peter go out to the lake and catch a fish, then take one shekel, or 4 drachma coin, inside the fish's mouth, and give it to the temple as temple tax for Jesus and Peter's sake." The religious leaders must have known that Jesus paid the temple tax, but accused Jesus as if he had committed a political crime by opposing to tax payments. This was because they thought that it wasn't enough to kill Jesus for religious reasons. That was why the religious leaders charged Jesus as a political offender who claimed himself to be the king of the Jews, accusing him for treasons against the Romans. In fact, Jesus did actually declare himself to be the Christ, the Son of God, and that people will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. So it wasn't so hard for the religious leaders to drive Jesus to be a political offender. To Pilate's question of asking if he was the king of the Jews, Jesus replied, "You have said so." To put this in another word from the original Bible, he replied, "It is just as you said." Jesus did not directly indicate that he was the king of the Jews, but did admit to it indirectly. But he did not respond in any way to the slandering and the accusations of the high priests and the elders. Pilate was aware that the Jewish religious leaders were testifying against Jesus for religious and political issues and out of self-interest. Pilate would have been anticipating to hear Jesus defend himself and to testify against them, hearing all those false accusations that are unfavorable to himself. But to his disbelief, Jesus did not say a word. The fact that the Jewish religious leaders have sued Jesus out of self-interest only proves the fact that Jesus is without sin. Pilate was a governor, so he probably had his own source of information network. He must have already been aware of the fact that Jesus was being called the Messiah among the Jews, and that he had entered Jerusalem in the midst of a grand, welcoming crowd surrounding him. When Pilate was not able to find any political issues with Jesus during the interrogation, he decided that this was a religious matter that broke out among the Jews. So, Pilate mentioned the precedence of releasing a prisoner using the governor's authority on holidays in order to win favor of the Jews, and asked the crowd which out of the two prisoners, the infamous murderer Barabbas and Jesus, who was called the Messiah, do they want to have released? In verse 17 of today's passage in the Korean Bible, you can see that number one is written in front of the name Barabbas. If you see at the bottom of the page, it is written that some manuscripts write Jesus Barabbas. So to read in another manuscript version, Pilate says as follows in verse 17. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" In the time of Jesus, many Jews were named Jesus. Here, Barabbas the murderer was also named Jesus. Pilate added the phrase, "who was called the Messiah," in verses 17 and 22 in order to distinguish Jesus from Barabbas. Pilate was aware of the innocence of Jesus, who was arrested and being interrogated out of self-interest. And so he did his own best to try to free Jesus. However, Pilate's effort was to no avail before the Jews, who were determined to kill Jesus. The Jews wanted Jesus Barabbas. In fact, Pilate was threatened by the Jews that his attempt to free Jesus, who claims to be the king of the Jews, is not being loyal to Caesar. Let us take a look at John chapter 19, verse 12. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." The shouts of the Jews were a dangerous political trap for Pilate. In the end, Pilate made the decision to have Jesus nailed to the cross due to the pressure of the Jewish religious leaders, although he was aware of their conspiracy. Preventing the public riot and avoiding conflict with the Jewish religious leaders came before the justice he was supposed to realize as a Roman governor that was sent to Judea. His judgment and decision was later recited along with his name in the Apostles' Creed, the prayer which Christians recite and confess through for the next 2,000 years, making him the most disgraceful historical figure. When Pilate asked Jesus if he was the king of the Jews, he received the answer, "You have said so." Although he had heard from the Lord in person about the gospel that the Son of God is the Messiah that had come to save humanity, Pilate was not able to pay attention to the most important issue. Instead, he paid attention to the angry cries of the people that seemed like they will break his judgment and will at once. The Jewish crowd protested with their lacking rationality and conscience, ready to overthrow the court of Pilate, as if they had been all hypnotized. In the end, Pilate settled the case by washing his hands before the crowd, showing that he has no responsibility over this man's death, for he had not been able to find any charges so great as to have the Lord nailed to the cross. Let us look at verse 24 of today's passage. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, He took water and washed his hand in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." If we look into the Korean Bible, number two is written before the word, "this man," in the phrase, "I am innocent of this man's blood." If we take a look at the bottom part of the page, in some manuscripts, it writes, "this man, this innocent man's." Pilate thought of Jesus as an innocent man. There may have been his wife's influence for him to think of Jesus as an innocent man. Let us look at verse 19. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in dream because of him. Pilate's wife sent her husband the message about a dream while watching the trial of Jesus, saying, don't have anything to do with that innocent man. The word Dikaios, which was translated as this innocent man, conveys the meaning all the justice, one who has come to realize all the justice. Pilate's wife testifies that she has suffered a great deal because of the dream. She suffered in the dream mentally. And although her dream of her suffering may seem like a nightmare on the outside, the dream was actually a spiritual dream. Pilate's wife, another Gentile who had come to the land of Judea, following after her husband, got to know Jesus Christ, Son of God, through her dream. That is why she adamantly gave her husband a warning message, saying, that man is the one who has come to realize all the justice, so do not meddle with his fate. Although the name of Pilate's wife, who tells her husband about her dream, does not appear in the Bible, she definitely exists in history. According to Apocrypha, her name is known as Claudia Procula. Claudia was someone related to the Roman imperial family and is known to be a daughter who was either born out of wedlock or a daughter of a divorced imperial princess. Claudia was married to Pilate, the governor of Judea and Samaria, for 50 years from AD 26 to 36. At the time, the Romans obeyed the law without question. What was more, it was a time when a woman was never able to make a voice about executing a law. However, Claudia was the only person that defended Jesus, telling her husband, who was sitting on his court seat, about the dream that she had. The Jewish religious leaders and the crowd insisted on freeing Barabbas, the murderer, for they were determined to kill Jesus, so they raged as if they were going to overthrow the court of Pilate. But Claudia realized that Jesus was the Son of God and an innocent man through her dream. So she sent someone to her husband to defend for Jesus. Pilate, with his wife's warning and advice in his mind, tried to free Jesus, but eventually handed him over to the people to have him nailed to the cross, due to the angry shouts of the Jewish religious leaders and the crowd. Pilate, aware of Jesus' innocence, washed his hands before the crowd, ignored his conscience, sentenced Jesus to death, and handed him over to the hands of the Jews for the sake of his own complacency. But as the governor that was sent to Judea by the Roman Empire, Pilate had the right to make the final decision regarding death sentence. So washing his hands does not make him irrelevant to the death of Jesus. There is another lot that cannot be unrelated to the death of Jesus, apart from Pilate. It is none other than the Jewish religious leaders and the crowd that was bought off by the religious leaders. Let us read verses 24 and 25. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, his blood is on us and on our children. The Jews, who took pride in that they knew more than anyone about the law and about God, fiercely rejected the Messiah whom they had been yearning for. Not only did they reject him, but they proudly said that the responsibility of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is on them and their children. They had no idea what they were saying. They were only focused on the crucifixion of Jesus. And so they said they did not care if the blood of Jesus was on them and their children. This means that they will bear with whatever the consequence of this purgation may be. And in fact, the children of these people who made an uproar had to watch with their own eyes in AD 70 of the tragic fall of Jerusalem. With the fall of Jerusalem, over 1 million people were slaughtered, and the Israelites had to live as nomads without a country. They also have a tragic history of having millions of people massacred before and after the Second World War. It is time for us to look back on whether if we can see ourselves in Pilate, who was handed over Jesus that came to realize all the justice in this world, as Claudia had testified. I looked up in the Korean Bible of how many times the word righteous or innocent man was used as a translation in Korean. It was used 200 times altogether in both the Old and the New Testament. Out of them, the book of Proverbs used the word righteous or innocent man the most. It was used 62 times. Next is an excerpt from the Proverbs. It's chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. If we are to cast Pilate and Jesus as either the wicked and the righteous from Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, Pilate would of course be the wicked, and Jesus will be casted as the righteous. However, in today's passage, the wicked one standing on the dock is Jesus, and the righteous one sitting at the judgment seat is Pilate. From what it looks like, Jesus seems like the prisoner or the sinner, but he is in fact the one who is keeping his cool without being emotionally agitated to the questions of Governor Pilate. The high priests and elders have sued Jesus with all sorts of lies, but the Lord, who knew of all the charges, did not stand up to defend himself. Rather, it was Pilate who was greatly affected emotionally, taken aback by the behavior that Jesus showed, which other prisoners would have never even imagined to try. There is a saying that grains tend to bow their heads as they grow ripe, which means the boughs that bear most hang lowest. It means that the more cultivated and disciplined a person is, the more humble and less show-off that person is. The more deeply a Christian has settled the roots of God's justice and righteousness into his or her life, the less he or she will be stirred by the tensions of life. Whether it be a small ripple or a huge surge, that person will not be easily swayed by external factors that tries to shake up his or her life. However, a person whose internal foundation is not as sturdy as if those who have built a home on the sand, he or she will be easily stirred by external factors that shake up his or her life. Pilate's behavior of being easily swayed by the shouts of the crowd that try to shake up his political position and asking for their opinions on what to do with Jesus in order to win their favor, it just shows that the image of a wicked fleeing even when no one is pursuing after him, just like it says in the Proverbs. But Jesus, who was facing death in order to save the lives of all people, stood before Pilate as bald as a lion. Pilate received a message from his wife about the truth, but he chose to make his political stand sturdier instead of holding on to eternal truth, and held on to the power and glory more importantly. However, Claudia, Pilate's wife, who testified that Jesus is that innocent man or the righteous man, is said to have parted from the life of serving the Roman emperor as God and converted to Judaism. This gentle woman, Claudia, must have been a blessed woman, for she must have accepted the gospel that was given to her through her dream and kept that gospel within her for the rest of her life, unlike her husband. Let me talk about my story of how an old dream is still making an influence over my life. The first time I attended the Sunday worship service here at the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church was the fourth week of July in 2005. The week before, I have come back to Korea after serving my 2-year ministry in India, so I attended the service to see and say hello to Ms. Pastor Lee Jae-tae. And then I revisited the church on the first week of August to see Pastor Lee again. He told me that the church will be commencing church school from September and asked me to take care of the church school. At the time, Pastor Lee was taking care of all the ministry works on his own without any other ministers. So I decided to give him a hand. For the month of August, I prepared for the nursery, kindergarten, and elementary Sunday school services. Starting from the first Sunday of September, I started to give services for the Sunday schools, and a month later, by October, I started giving services to junior and senior high youth groups. At the time, there were not many students in the Sunday school, so team leaders of four different group schools and teachers, excluding the nursery school, have taken turns to give sermons on Sunday. And I gave sermons to different group schools each week. During the weekdays, I and another full-time pastor started taking care of church administration works together. On Saturdays, we copied and folded weekly programs for the regular Sunday worship services for adults, as well as preparing for the sermons for the Sunday schools, and made cassette tapes and CD copies of the previous week's sermons so that we may sell them on Sundays. As time went by, volunteers have taken on to divide the roles, but for the first few months, it was a continuous cycle of busyness. One day in September, after the foundation of the church, and before there was the early morning prayer sessions, I received a scolding in my dream. I was very severely scolded. "You were told to help Pastor Dita Tar to pray and build the church. Why you're not praying?" Even after waking up from my dream, the scolding was very clearly left inside my head. And so, that day, I went to church an hour earlier than usual and went up to the second floor of the Mission Memorial Hall. The second floor of the Mission Memorial Hall was full of the warmth of the morning sun that came in through the stained glass. I sat on the bench to pray and closed my eyes. And the moment I called for the Lord, hot tears started pouring out of my eyes. Due to the non-stopping tears, I was not able to pray verbally and could not only offer my tears, only conveying my apologies to the Lord. I was sitting there for quite some time, feeling apologetic in the midst of the presence of the Lord, and gradually my heart felt at peace. And soon, a voice could be heard from within my heart. The voice said, "I will bring all types of believers of the Korean church to Yangwajin." The moment I heard this voice, I just felt that that was the most natural thing. And then the voice continued, "I will bring all types of ministers of the Korean church to Yangwajin." The moment I heard this voice, it just hit me in the head. My heart started beating fast. Instantly, my head raced into thinking, then what type of minister am I? And started looking back on what my current image was like. I looked back on myself through the eyes of the Lord and tried to objectify myself. I was a religionist who was a workaholic, but with the Lord absent. Looking back on myself, explicitly charging myself, who took pride in doing ministry works, never missing a thing, I could not help but feel guilty before the Lord. I knew in my head that the Lord wanted to commune with me rather than have me work. But the Lord made me look at myself still putting work before the Lord in life. I prayed for the repentance, for I felt so guilty and sorry. But even today, when I look back on each and every moment, I still sometimes find myself falling back to the old habits. And each time I find myself doing so, I repeatedly put myself before the presence of the Lord over and over again. Every time I fall into idleness, I remember why I am here today, why the Lord has had me stand here, and pull myself together again. The Lord has called you, beloved believers, to this 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. The Lord, who has called upon us eagerly, wants all of us to live without letting go of the Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life through the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. And so, I dare to ask you all, what type of a Christian are you in the eyes of the Lord? Do you stand before the presence of the Lord every day? Do you live according to the order of the Lord, of which he asked you to stay within him? Or are you the type of Christian like Pilate or the Jewish religious leaders? I dare ask the co-pastors of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, who carry out missions together, what type of ministers are you in the eyes of the Lord? Are you the type of minister who looks back on yourself before the mirror of the Word of God on a daily basis? Or are you the type blinded by the glory, power, the city, and the riches? I confess that I am also not free from these questions that I ask you. Pilate and the Jewish religious leaders chose the secular values, clasping on to the political position and religious rights, rather than onto the actual important issues. But the Lord wants us, all who walk on the path of faith, along with the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, to live every day as the righteous beings that resemble the Lord who has come to this earth to realize the righteousness. He eagerly wants us to break free from the secular values and live looking up to the God who protects us without a wink of sleep. As such, the Lord stands before Pilate to save us again. Let us pray. God of love, we thank you for the endless grace of the Lord who was sentenced to death while being interrogated by Pilate in order to save us who were doomed to die forever. But from moment to moment, we forget about Jesus Christ, our Savior, and live according to one's own belief. So please forgive us of our foolishness. Let us remember the love of the Lord who reveals through today's words, through people, and through all the things in nature. And may we live on clinging on to Jesus Christ, the most important issue in our lives. The Lord, who has come to realize all the justice on this earth, where it is full of injustice, has come as the light. So allow us the grace to live in a righteous life as the beings that resemble the Lord, who is the light. Thank you for allowing the co-pastorship to our 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. From 3.5 years ago, and for guiding us up to today. We pray for this church with all our hearts and allow us the wisdom and understanding so that we may not come short of fulfilling the Lord's will. Under the guidance of the Lord, we were given the calling as the original, sound, and righteous pavers of the path towards the 200 years of Korean church. In the eyes of the Lord. So please let us bear the roles well. Please have all of the church pray together for this work and allow us the grace to fulfill the Lord's will in one heart and will. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.